This is our last week at this time to talk about living doxology and how do we behold God's worth and weight in such a way that it affects our walk and to this morning our wisdom. Life is a series of decisions punctuated by choices that leads us to the next sentence. Right? David, on his deathbed, had a lot of decisions that he made wrong when he looked back at his life, but he had a lot of decisions he made right. He was a man after God's own heart. He made the one thing of his life, he said in Psalm 27, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The one thing he asked, the one thing he sought. And when the Lord said to his heart, "Seek my face," he said, "I will seek your face." But he had a lot of regret, and we know Bathsheba, we know all that happened, his enabling of his son Absalom, that he let get away with stuff, and then he killed the man who killed Absalom. So he did a lot of stuff that wasn't God's pleasure. He was unwise. He made a lot of bad decisions. But on his deathbed in 2 Chronicles, he's looking at 1 Chronicles, he's looking at his son Solomon, who's a boy, and David's about to die. And he says, "Solomon, know the God of your father. Don't do as I do always, but know the God of me. And serve him with a willing heart, a whole heart, and fear him." And so Solomon, then David on his deathbed, Solomon sort of at his inauguration, when he becomes king, the Lord appeared to him and said, "Ask for whatever you want." Boy, wouldn't you like the Lord to say that to you? You'd say maybe some days, "Circumstance change, Lord." That's what I want. Maybe my body, maybe this, that, the other. Change it. Circumstances. But Solomon, I don't know if David's voice in his deathbed was ringing in his ears, but he said this, "You've shown me great kindness, God, to my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart." As a general rule of thumb, obviously. "You've continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord, my God, you've made your servant king in place of David, but I'm only a little child." Self-awareness is pretty important when you're asking what you need most, right? And I don't know, here's the word, how. You ever feel that way in life? I don't know how. I'd like things to change. I'd like things to get better, but I don't know how. I'd like to carry out my duties, 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7. I want to carry out my duties, but I don't know how, and I'm just a little child. Humility is pretty important in wisdom. Proverbs 11, 2, "With the humble is wisdom." So, give your servant, 1 Kings 3, 9, "Give your servant a discerning heart." Boy, where did that come from? Give your, to be able to distinguish between right and wrong so I can govern these people. The Lord was pleased with that. So in verse 11, God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life and not for wealth," right? Since you've asked for that and you've not asked for the death of your enemies, but discernment, I will do what you have asked. Let's just stop and put an exclamation point there. Where does wisdom come from? First, asking God for it, right? It's not you come study something and figure out how to do something. God gives wisdom. So because you've asked for that, I will give you a wise and discerning heart. Keep that in your mind. Has God given you a wise and discerning heart? Do you desire, above all things, a wise and discerning heart? Proverbs 4, 7. Mark this. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom. Though it cost you everything you've got, get understanding. In other words, King James would say, above all you're getting, get wisdom. So God went on to say, as you know, if you know the rest of the story, "So because you've did this, I'm going to moreover give you wealth and honor on top of wisdom. And then Solomon would pen a little bit later in Proverbs 3, blessed are those who find wisdom. Verse 13, those who gain understanding. For she is more profitable than silver and yields better return than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in wisdom's right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Oh, the two things that God gave Solomon. Her ways are pleasant ways. Let me say that again. Following wisdom is pleasant. Following foolishness is destructive and not happy. And if we were to think about just for a moment, when we do what is wrong, it is dangerous because God is a righteous judge, right? It is ugly because God is a good father, right? But it is unpleasant and it is foolish because God is a wise creator-redeemer. He is a wise creator-redeemer. So to go against what he says is best is to go against your good. And it is not just ugly and dangerous, but it is foolish. And so he goes on to say in Proverbs 3, take hold of her and hold her fast. So maybe you're here today and you're on the front end of a decision and you need wisdom. You need wisdom. Maybe relational wisdom. Maybe financial wisdom. Maybe a personal area of wisdom, vocational wisdom. I remember when I was young and I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do when I grew up. This was like 2 years ago. Just kidding. No, it was high school. I was graduating. I went to the Army recruit office. Picture this, Tim Bryant in the military. Hey, that's not nice. I could have done it. Maybe I'd have been entertaining, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. So wherever you're at today, maybe you're in the front end of a decision. Above all getting, get wisdom. And who does wisdom come from? The Lord. And where is the beginning of wisdom? To fear him, to know him. Above all your knowing, know him. You made a decision how to drive here today. Maybe you drove foolishly, dangerously, ugly. You didn't know God well enough, maybe, right? It all is about the heart, condition. It's not about what's up here first. It's about what's down here. What is driving you? But maybe you're here today not in the front end of a decision. Maybe you're here in the front end or in the back end of a long line of bad decisions. And you have a lot of regret. There's hope. You know why? Because God is wise. He knows how to take ashes and turn them into beauty. He will do this. He can take the worst day of human history and turn it into the best day. Ask the Apostle Paul after he murdered all those people. Bad decisions, Paul. What'd God do with you? I wrote most of the New Testament. Satan is confounded with the wisdom of God. He does not understand that God can help his people turn bad into good. Solomon made some bad decisions later, did he not? So even though he knew what was right, his heart was not in a good place. Wisdom comes from the Lord who changes our hearts first and foremost. So I want us to look at the wisdom of God today in light of our need for wisdom. But I want us to understand that we have to ask God to invite us. Would you invite me to the party of wisdom? Would you open your heart? No one can approach him without his invitation. So ask him, like Solomon, make me more wise. Wisdom is knowing the best goal and choosing the best way to accomplish that goal. Whatever it is, God knows the best goal right now at this very moment in your life, whether you're on the front end decisions or back end. You can't go wrong following God. Even if you choose to go into the military, if I did, God is sovereign, so he will redirect me. to where he wants me as long as I'm seeking him. The heart is the navigational system, not the mind first. It's the condition of the heart that leads you to the good of God. The mind follows that. The heart is cultivated by what's going on in the mind. But let him lead you. Let him give wisdom. From his mouth comes wisdom. Let's pray right now. Father, thank you. We need wisdom. Any bad decision reveals that, and there's many among us all here. But there's good decisions when we have prudence. We have awareness of you, awareness of us, awareness of everything that we need to make a good decision. But Father, our hearts need to be conditioned by being amazed at your wisdom in order for us to get wisdom. So guide us here today, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. You have an outline there. God is a wise creator redeemer. God is wise. God alone knows the best goal and chooses the best way to accomplish those goals. This wisdom is intuitive, infallible, and infinite. There is a working definition of what I hope that we can behold today in God as we look here at God being wise. The best goal and choosing the best path. If God is wise, then everything he does, he thinks goal-oriented. And he thinks, how do I get them there the best way? You ever look at decisions in your life and think you kind of got there this way and finally got to the destination? God goes this, right? Human history is God's goals on display, his wise goals, every piece of it, because he's sovereign king, because he's a righteous judge, he can do no wrong. And because he's a good father, he's got good goals for us. If I were to say to you today, what goal does God, the God of wisdom, have for your life? When he picks and he looks at Tim Bryant or you and he says, what do I want to do in their life? What's the best goal? Sunshine every day? Nope. What is it? It's often the path of what? Suffering that leads to what? Becoming more like Jesus. You let go of things on the earth. You let go of things that aren't priority. The more you suffer, if you have the spirit of wisdom in you, the more you get to what's most important. So if you have sunshine every day, you know what happens? You get fat, okay? Don't mean that literally. I just mean you get soft. So here's what we know is that suffering produces character, right? And character produces good choices. So God's goal for you and me is to become like Jesus. That's his primary goal. Everything else is the way we get there. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, those who are becoming conformed to his image. Let's talk about this wisdom, though, on display as we think about these three words, infinite, infallible, and intuitive. God's wisdom is infinite, infallible, and intuitive. Let's talk about infinite for a moment. It's infinite. There is no end to it. It's above ours. When we look at Romans 11:33 through 36, here's what it says. If you have a verse that you want to memorize that helps you understand the magnificence of God's wisdom, it's Romans 11:33-34. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. Oh, the depths of the riches of both the wisdom and knowledge of God. So we have depths, right? We have depths here. Depths of wisdom and knowledge of God. And when we think of that, it's unsearchable. It goes on to say how unsearchable. You can't arrive at it. And how unfathomable. That means that it is infinite. There's no end to it. It's unfathomable. And it goes on to say, who has known the mind of the Lord or who has become his counselor? When you're in trials, you ever give God counsel? Like you tell him what you would like him to do because it's the best way to go forward. And we understand that. But who has ever been able to counsel God? Can't. Because he is wise. He's infinite in his wisdom. And Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding, and it uses the word, is infinite. There's no end to it. And then Jude chapter 1, verse 25 here says that he is the only wise God. So he is so wise, he knows best the right goal and the right best way to get there. It is only he that knows the best way to get there. And it goes on to say, be glory and majesty forever and ever. And then 1 Timothy 1:17, now unto the King eternal, you may know the rest of this, immortal, invisible, the only what? Wise God. Again, only wise. He alone is wise. That means that his wisdom is holy, remember? It's transcendent. So we talk about this. It's beyond compare. To understand that is to go to him then. It translates into going to him for what our needs are, our wisdom needs. And then we have infallible. What does that mean? It always will work to accomplish what it sets out to do. How many of you have a cell phone? All of you. Okay, answered that question, right? How many think that cell phones are improving? Okay, none of you. Interesting. There was a time, though, when we thought that they were getting better and better, right? There would be no end. The top would be heaven one day, right? And then we saw the end. And then they started making commercials that looked like they turned something that was the same into something amazing because they just painted it a different color, put a bigger circle on it with a glass, right? It was amazing. Sometimes man gets improvement, version 2, and it is bad. Ask Apple. I think it was Apple 8 iPhone, wasn't it, that they put that the shielding around it and it didn't get good signal, and then they lost millions on it. Some of you remember that was decades ago. Apple 8 iPhone. And then there was the Samsung Note 9. I feel like I'm doing a commercial here, but Note 9, in which they started blowing up in people's hands. That was an improvement. I don't know how bad it got, but I think a few people got hurt. Anyway, man's wisdom is not infallible, right? It fails. Cars, these sorts of things. God, to quote a famous auto mechanic store, gets it right the first time. Think about it. John, Gabe, I don't know if you're here, but that was for you, okay? No, but the truth is that God gets it right the first time. Do you know there are thousands of nerve endings in your eye that has to reach your brain while you're in the mother's womb? You ever try to wire a radio? I know some of you don't understand that years ago we used to try to do those things. We'd like get a little box radio, put it in the car. Trey, did you ever do that? And trying to get the wires, there's like 17 wires there. And you crossed them, you know, it would blow the thing up or it wouldn't work. God got all of these right for all of us in your womb, in the womb, mother's womb, perfectly. We could be at the heart, the human heart, the capacity, the pumping capacity of the human heart. He gets it right the first time. There's no version 2. Guys, same thing with your plan, the plan of your life, God's sovereign plan in your life. I could make like a left turn somewhere, and God lovingly brings me back to his point at some point, right? And some of the most hopeful things that I can say to people is Ephesians 2:10 when we think of the wisdom of God. That you are God's masterpiece in Christ. God is working on you first and foremost, not yourself, okay? He's working on you. And it goes on to say that he has created good works for you to walk in ahead of time. So what happens if I've made a bad long string of bad decisions and I'm over here in la-la land spiritually and I repent? You know what happens? Plan A. It never was plan B. That's what I say to children whose parents maybe orphaned them in some way, or a child that was adopted because the sister couldn't take care of the child and they don't feel connected anymore. I look at them and say, this was God's plan A for you. It was not. You are connected to your biological mother first and foremost. You are connected to your spiritual heavenly father first and foremost. And he gave you to this family. You are theirs by his doing. Just like he created your body, he created your family. This is plan A. And this is so helpful to understand. God's wisdom is infallible. Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but shall accomplish the purposes for which I sent it. Did you hear that? He always gets it right the first time. Acknowledge, too, that he said, how did he do it? Out of his what? Mouth. I'm not going to go through the other verses here. I'm going to go to intuitive. You can look those up later. But intuitive, when I try to make something like a human heart, which I couldn't do, or I try to wire a radio or try to make a cell phone, you know how many versions of that have to happen for some of us if you're doing certain things, right? And there's trial and error, trial and error, trial and error. Fails. Boom, we got something that works, half of it. Let's do more. Let's build on this. God gets it right the first time. We know that, but it's also intuitive to him. It comes to him, and he just has to speak it. Did you hear what I said? He just has to say, let there be Tim Bryant. He doesn't sit there and say, let me think about this a minute. Tim Bryant is going to have gray hair early. You know, whatever it is that he's doing. He has every detail of my life figured out from beginning to end. He is not only sovereign, but he is wise. We put those together and you get an amazing combination. Have hope in that, church. Have hope in that. Every day before one came to be was ordained not just by the power of God, but by the wisdom of God. If I repent of sin, he turns it into good in the end. I mean, that's not to test him in that, because who wants to go through the pain, right? And you may find that you wish that you could have changed things when you look back. But God, in his wisdom, turns it into good. He will, whether you're a parent, whether you're married, all these things. You remember when, I'm going to say something, maybe I'm going to say it anyway. Governor Sanford said that his wife in Argentina, his wife wasn't his soulmate, but he had married the wrong person, basically. And so he had Argentina in mind, the gal in Argentina. He didn't understand the wisdom of God. I don't care who I marry in a sense. It's important to marry the right person and think about it. But when you look at where God's wisdom is overtaking my human errors, he can turn this into good. He can turn Paul's sin into good. But it's intuitive. It comes from him. It's his mouth. Job 12, 11 tells us that it's by God's mouth that these things came to be, that he didn't have to work hard at this. It wasn't an impossibility for him to get there. It was just in his mind all along. When you think about how God's wisdom is amazing, Hebrews 11, 3, we know that God, by the power of his word, all things were made that were unseen. And they're better than anything that God, that man has made. It's more amazing than anything that man has ever made. Let's move for a minute to related titles of God. If God is a wise creator redeemer, let's look at the related titles of God. His title is he's counselor. You know this. Isaiah 9:8 talks about Isaiah 9:6 talks about that God, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He is a wonderful counselor. He gets the counsel right the first time. So the Bible uses the word counsel, and if you could associate it to the wisdom of God. If you're going to find a wise counselor, hopefully they have wise goals, right, and wise ways to get there. Maybe a marriage problem. What's the best goal in a marriage problem? Here, we're thinking about that. What's this challenge in parenting? How do we start to do the right things here in the right way? He's an administrator. Here's a title, Ephesians 1:10. He works out all things in conformity with his will. So he has an administration that's working all things out, all the details of his life. Think about the decisions. I look back and I think decisions I made and how God brought me to my wife was beyond my ability to get there. I mean, I look at her dad was ready to move to another state because he's got to had a job change. And I'm thinking, how is God going to, I didn't think at the time, but now I look back and say, how did God get Aaron to move and not move back with their dad not leave? How did he get her dad not to lose not to take that job. It was all in God's wisdom, working out detail after detail. Without Aaron and I being married, there'd be no children like this, right? How does God wisely work all that out in his plan? He's an administrator, that's how. He administrates a plan. Think of God as that. He's a creator. This is maybe the most important. He's a creator. He creates, and his wisdom is titled as a creator. He's a wise creator. He can create something out of what? Nothing, right? He speaks and it occurs. He's able to do those things. And then not only is he a creator, but he's a redeemer. And if you think about Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says there that all things will work together for the good of those that love God. So creators create out of nothing something. And God does it with his words. But he's also a redeemer, that he takes something bad, not just something that existed before and it's good, but something that turned bad, and he creates good out of it. All things, we know God works together for the good of those who love him. And Psalm 19:14 says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Sometimes we think of redeemer as forgiving sin. But I want you to think about a redeemer as turning bad circumstances into good. He restores things. So he's a creator, that he creates something out of nothing, and he's a redeemer, he creates good out of bad. Look at these related attributes of God as we think of, again, God being a wise creator, redeemer, which is the title we've given this. He's omniscient. He knows everything. And Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says that nothing is hidden from him, right? Nothing is hidden from him. He sees it all before a word is on my mouth. He knows everything, Psalm 139. That's a lot of wisdom when you know everything. You can, from that knowledge, make decisions that are informed fully. But he's also all-seeing. Matthew 6 talks about God who sees in secret, right? He sees everything. And then 1 Corinthians 14:33, God is a God not of disorder. So there's wisdom. He orders his plan and he executes it intuitively. This is the related attributes of God. But let's take a look here now at related descriptions. These are some of my favorite to think on. When you think about God, any one of these, if God, the Holy Spirit, were to give you insight into this, it would help you understanding who God is and responding to who God is in his wisdom. He's the giver of creativity and skill. He's the giver. Exodus 31. How did the people get creativity to create for his glory in the Old Testament? God put it in their hearts. He gave creativity and skill. So some of you have creativity and skill. Where does that come from? It comes from God, the wise God. He teaches you how to profit. He teaches you how to profit. That's wisdom. Someone yesterday was saying that they were worried about their job because things were going so well for so long. Isn't that odd? That's an odd thing. Not really, right? Waiting for the other shoe to fall, or the first shoe to fall, which will mean the second one will fall. And I just said, who gives you the ability to create wealth? The wisdom of God, right? People go from zero to a million because God decreed it first. Could he stop that? Absolutely. Could he start that? Yes. Could he give? Does he sometimes give us things to discipline us with that? Because it shows our heart what we do with that? Sure. Think of the Old Testament, the blessings that came that were a part of their fall. Think of the devil himself, the great crafty one, whose wisdom was corrupted because of the greatness of it. So we do realize that if we don't acknowledge that the wealth, the profitability of our lives comes from his hand, we can corrupt that wisdom real quick, and it can become a curse for us. One guy said, I need to kick my employees in the butt to get them to work harder. I said, well, that's odd. That's not really pleasing to God, is it? Yeah, but that's the only thing that'll work. I said, really? You know, or I got to use intimidation on my children to make them do what I want them to do. Well, who gives you the ability to profit? We don't go to God for wisdom many times. We look to our own resources. But God is the only wise creator, redeemer, not you and I. He reveals, he possesses secret knowledge. Did you know that? Deuteronomy 29:29 tells us that, that God is, the things that are revealed are ours, but the things that are unrevealed belong to the Lord. So we follow his revelation, he follows his wisdom. Sometimes it doesn't make sense to do what's right. But it always makes sense if God is wise and the creator, redeemer. He reveals mysteries. I remember one time I was speaking to someone who loved to collect certain things. And they would spend all their time going out and trying to find special things. It isn't the person that is Joel's wife, okay, who goes and loves and finds. I'm not talking about her right now. But there was someone else that would spend all their time. She does a great job of that, by the way. But this was a guy, he would go look and look and look and look, and he'd spend all his time finding that valuable treasure and not following the wisdom of God and his relationships. That's how bad it was for him. Another person was a biologist, and he loved to study, and he was trying to create something, and he spent time forever and ever in the lab, and he neglected his marriage. See what I'm saying? They were after the wisdom. But here we see the glory of God, that he reveals mysteries. Look at those verses later when you get a chance. Job 12:22, that he reveals wisdom. He reveals knowledge, and he gives those things to us. He makes man dumb or deaf, seeing or blind. Exodus 4:11. I thought that our education system did that. I'm kidding you. Now, first and foremost, God is the one that can open your eyes or shut them. God is the one that can make you see or not see. Exodus 4:11 is a great illustration of this when Moses, who said, I'm not good to speak. Don't send me to Pharaoh. I can't speak on my feet well. I'm unskilled in that way. And God's like, who am I? Am I not the one who makes Pharaoh hear or not hear, and you speak or not speak? I will be with your mouth. Go, I'll fill it. And he's like, no, I want to feel good while you fill it. What do you mean by that? Well, have you ever said, God, I'll go, but I'm not good? And you're hoping God will say, okay, I'll get someone else. That's not what God does often. He says, no, I actually want the person not as good to do it. Yeah, think about it. What you were when you were called. You weren't the best cream of the crop, were you? Why did he choose that? So no one could boast but in him. So Moses didn't want that job. So he said, give me somebody. So his brother Aaron went. But remember, God gets the A on the result. Even if you are doing your best and it's a C, the result is in the hands of God. Because he is wise. He knows, and he's sovereign over those things that happen. His word makes the simple wise. Think about that glory of God. Does your word make the simple wise? If you're following him, it does. It makes you wise. It makes you understand the right goals in any situation and the right way to get there. And it's progressive. It's not like you get handwriting on the wall. You get each day's wisdom for that day many times. But he is the one who his word makes the simple wise. And then fearing him gives wisdom. That's a beautiful thought, that even the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fearing anything else than like him is the beginning of foolishness. Do you fear germs? You should have a healthy view of fear of germs, right? But do you fear them inordinately, as if they are in charge of your well-being? Who is over germs? Sunday school answer, God, right? So we should say, God, do you want me to wash my hands now or not? Well, how many times have you done it? Well, I've done it about 8 times in the last 5 minutes. I can handle the rest, thank you. I know that it's sometimes humorous, but guys, our fears are irrational many times. I get it. I was one of those guys. I could probably work a good stew up right now if I tried, right? Thinking about the dangers of everything instead of the wisdom of my God who says, follow my word. If you die, it's good because I planned it. If you don't, you won't. You know, I'm with you in your life and I'm with you in your death. Do my will. Fear me and you'll be wise, Tim. Don't fear that person. Don't fear that reward. Look to me. That's wisdom. He's able to work all things together for good. Have you ever thought about that as wisdom? Think about that just a minute. Wisdom of God works all things together for good. Is that not amazing? Boy, you and I can't do that, right? We can't do that. We try. And sometimes we get unwise in our attempts. I know one family who their child was rebelling against the Lord, and it really damaged their emotions. They struggled with that. And as a result, they started worshiping the child. What do I mean by that? Well, they started doing everything to make the child happy, to stay in church. You know, they got a pool so that their child didn't go to the boyfriend's pool, and so that they just kept racking up the money, right, in order to try to rescue. You can't do that. You can't work all things together for good. You can't. But you must fear him above your children first. And then out of that, God, what do I do with this situation? Give me wisdom. Give me direction. Illustrations of this, I love these, when we think about how God illustrates his wisdom. The wisdom of creation. Listen to Psalm 19, again, in light of what I'm saying here about wisdom. The heavens are telling the glory of God, his weight and worth, and their expanse is declaring the works of his hands. Day to day they pour forth speech, and night to night reveal what? Knowledge. Now, I know knowledge isn't wisdom, but it's a foundation for wisdom. Is there knowledge built into our DNA? Right? If we can observe creation, do we start to understand there's a knowledge behind that? There's a science behind that? Our God is revealed. His wisdom is revealed in that knowledge. He worked all that knowledge together for the good of us being physically present today. That sunshine out there. Amazing, isn't it? And we study the sun and we think it's just a bunch of atom bombs going off over and over, and his word is sustaining that thing in a scientific way. He understands that's pouring forth a knowledge, and behind that knowledge is this infinite God of wisdom who reveals in what's been made. Right? We need to stand in awe of that. Why? So that we'll submit to the wisdom when we need to make a decision. I think he's doing pretty good. What do you think? We applaud you, God, this morning. We applaud your wisdom this morning. Now unto the King eternal, unto the King immortal, unto the King invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. We need to understand and grasp the wisdom of God if we're going to be wise. Because we will negotiate our obedience to him when it doesn't seem to profit us or satisfy us, when his word is not enough. We need to get back to the basics. Go look at the sun. It's revealing that there's a knowledge of God that's so far above yours. So just listen. Humble yourself under his word. The wisdom of creation. How about the wisdom of Christ's fulfillments? The wisdom of Christ's fulfillments. When you think about all the prophecies that had to come true, and Christ fulfilled all of those prophecies. Virgin birth. Bethlehem, the birthplace, but from Nazareth. And he would be in Egypt. And he would be a suffering servant. All these pictures of the Old Testament and prophecies, the triumphal entry. You've heard maybe this illustration that if all of Texas was an inch deep of quarters, and you threw a quarter in there, just to fulfill those prophecies, you'd have to go find one quarter among all those quarters. And that's our Lord. That's wisdom on display. The wisdom of the cross. The wisdom of the cross is even above that. Remember, the cross is the greatest demonstration, or Christ is the demonstration of the full glories of God and the wisdom of the cross. If the rulers of this age had understood it, 1 Corinthians 2 says, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The wisdom is foolishness to them. Satan drove the nails in the hands of the one who paid for the sin of the world, and it glorified God. The wisdom of the fall. What do you mean from that, Tim? Well, Ephesians 3:10-11 is very clear. It tells us this, that there is an eternal purpose, that God was going to declare his wisdom to the rulers and princes and powers that are in the universe, the angels, fallen and not fallen. This is a wild picture in Ephesians 3. Go look at it. But the whole purpose, the eternal purpose of everything that occurred in God's plan, did he create sin? No. But did he allow it? Yes. What's the purpose, God? Because in his mind, he was going to demonstrate his wisdom to the heavenly realms by defeating sin on the cross. All the suffering is accomplishing something good. That's wisdom. So as we end here, what is the way we respond to this wisdom? How do we respond to the wisdom of God? Right responses to seeing. Would you just write there in that first one, Proverbs 14:16, shun evil. If you really today test yourself, wisdom is seen in shunning evil. Because we get it. We understand the value of doing what is right, the reward, that God is bigger than those things. Don't be wise in your own eyes, Proverbs 3:7. Fear the Lord and shun evil. 2 Timothy 3:15. You've learned the sacred writings of Scripture, which is able to make you wise to salvation. So getting saved under Jesus Christ is a wise decision. It makes sense. And if you start with Scripture, you will be led to the wisdom of getting saved. It says you were taught it from your childhood, listening to the word. And then James chapter 1, verse 3 to 5. It says to consider it all joy when you encounter trials. And when you are struggling to do what you need to do in a trial, what does it say to do? You don't know how to handle it? Ask God for what? Wisdom. Ask him for wisdom. And then Proverbs 2, 1 to 6. Don't just ask him once for wisdom. Store up his word in your heart. When you're trying to make a decision, where do you go? Do you seek wisdom, or do you just ask God to plop it in your mind? So Proverbs 2, if you're going to see someone wise, wisdom is seen in those who seek wisdom, okay? Through the word, through meditating on the word. Colossians 3:16, there you have this passage. It tells us to dwell richly in the wisdom of Christ and minister to others out of that. And then if you were to look at Luke 22:42, we have there Jesus Christ, that in the Garden of Gethsemane, his darkest day, you know what he was trusting in? Abba, Father, I know all things are possible for you. If there's any other way, if there's another wise way to accomplish your glory and the good of your people, let's do it. But if there's not my will be done, but what? Yours. So wisdom is seen in trusting the wisdom of God. When it's not turning out like you want right now, you have to wait for the last chapter. Are you waiting on something right now for God to turn into good? And then the last two, James 3 tells us this, use wisdom from above when you're trying to accomplish something. It's seen in how you accomplish a goal. And verse 18 would go on to say that the wisdom from above is peaceable and approachable and gentle, full of mercy, good fruits. So if you are responding to the wisdom of God, you're going to have those qualities. And then lastly, Proverbs 11:2. With the humble is wisdom. With the humble is wisdom. Wisdom is seen in those who are humble. And you know what humble people do? Everything I've just said. Everything I just said, that's what humble people do. They recognize like Solomon. I don't know how. Do you? Or do you think right now you know how without God?